You're listening to the Scottish Football Forum's podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forum's podcast. I'm John and we're having another review of Scottish women's football. So I've brought the usual suspects of Vinny and Dave. Thank you very much for coming on, guys. How are you both?
Very well. Thanks, John. Hope Vincent as well. But very, very good for myself.
Yeah, I'm great, John. Thank you very much for having us along again.
Yeah, I wonder why you're feeling great, but we'll come on to that shortly. But yeah, we need to start at the top. So it was very close when we last did the full review, and obviously we had the Derby Weekend podcast as well, which went good. But and since then, Glasgow City seem to have taken a march on this title race. They've gone 6 clear of Celtic, 7 clear of Rangers, and in the same point, they were also the worst of the three in terms of the goal difference. They're now the best in terms of that. Leanne Ross has got the job on a permanent basis. I've been calling for that since the 1st of January, I think. Yeah, pretty much marching on. And the key result, clearly, was that win over Celtic away from home, especially after Celtic's result over Rangers. I mean, that was a real statement, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, I think the magnitude of the result as far as Celtic were concerned was the most important thing, John. I mean, I've seen them prior to playing Rangers against Burnley. I was very impressed with Fernando Alonso's side of that day in question, but they very much stepped up when they played Rangers. I mean, it was a massive game within the dynamic of the season because Celtic, quite simply, if they were to go win, it kind of cut a drift between Celtic and Rangers, and that's still proven to be the case. Whilst for Rangers, it was basically a must-win assignment for them because Rangers, let's be honest, it's funny regarding Rangers, James, because Rangers, they haven't hit the heights of last season, but at exactly the same time, they've not done too much in terms of inconsistency either. So it's been a very funny picture regarding Rangers, and it's one of those that there's no margin for error in the SWPL one, because if you lose one or two games in the SWPL one and you're one of the leading teams in the hunt for the championship, it's going to halt your season a little bit. I mean, that's the thing regarding it. I mean, the top three, there's 7 points separating the top three, but then Hearts, there's still a 15-point cushion between Rangers and Hearts in fourth. So that just goes to show you, but what a massive win for Celtic as well, because obviously that there's only a point between the two sides, but that just goes to show you the difference in both the top and the bottom end, guys, because Glasgow City have got 87, Celtic 86 goal difference, and Rangers have got 84. But Glasgow City, ever since the year, Leanne Ross is their permanent manager, and justifiably so, because I wasn't going to say turnaround, but what a transformation she's set upon Glasgow City, because last season, let's be honest, was a bit of a transition season for City, but this season they've bounced back superbly, and Leanne Ross is only going to progress from step to step.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Dave, because I think under Eileen Gleeson, like you say, it was a bit of a transition year. But I think you see the difference in the it's almost like a freedom that City are playing with at the moment, which is really interesting. So you wonder, you know, as good a coach as Eileen Gleeson was, you wonder if things were a wee bit prescriptive. And Leanne Ross knows the team so well, she knows the history of the club so well. I wonder if she's just sort of given everyone that wee bit more freedom, and, you know, allowed them to go and perform. It's been really interesting. I think when Rangers won the title last year, I think a lot of people maybe thought that, you know, that'll be it for City's dominance in the women's game, and now Celtic and Rangers with a full-time approach will start to take over. And although they are competing, it just shows you the strength of that history and all that infrastructure that Glasgow City have, that they've just pushed on.
Yeah, exactly. I think the important thing there, I mean, Leanne Ross just gets Glasgow City. You know, they're playing in a more aggressive, direct way. I mean, they were also winning games on the Island Gleeson. They were top when she left. But as we said, they weren't necessarily win by the style they have been recently, and they've just started thumping teams again, like they were before. And you know, it's they're looking good for winning a 16th title in SWPL history, and it'll be interesting to see what she does in terms of her Scotland duties, because she's supposed to be number two to Pedro Martinez Loza, but if she's now the full time head coach, you wonder if she'll have time for that.
I do think, yeah, I think you're right, John. I think if Leanne Ross is now the manager at Glasgow City, you can't be putting two baskets into one throw, if you understand what I mean. You can't, it needs to be all or nothing in a particular situation. Leanne Ross is embedded within the Glasgow City culture, as you say. So for Leanne Ross, she needs to put all her eggs into one basket, which is the Glasgow City basket, and she's doing tremendously well, of course, with that. But for Scotland, it might, I'll be brutally honest with you, John, I don't know if he's all great. I think a restructure of the Scotland coaching team could be a good thing for the national team, because obviously Leanne Ross is full-time Glasgow City manager now. Obviously, we were touching upon it on this podcast, and numerous podcasters and pundits and media extraordinaires within the Scottish game have all went and said that Scotland were quite simply underwhelming against Ireland and Austria. So maybe a restructure of the coaching team maybe is the best thing that happened to Scotland, because we'll look at the transformation after Shelley Kerr left Scotland. Scotland winning a wee bit of excitement again. We had a bit of enthusiasm again after Shelley Kerr left, and then we kind of hit that lull again. So I would be against a coaching restructure, if I'm going to be brutally honest.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, Dave. You keep hearing from the Scotland camp, just, you know, there's a lot of positivity around Pedro, and I think for people on the sidelines, I don't know if we necessarily feel that. at times, like you say, those games were very underwhelming. So it'll be interesting to see if that transpires, that Leanne Ross leaves that set up and Pedro brings someone else in, whether just that fresh approach might make things a wee bit more dynamic, because I think it's just, as frustrating as it is watching the Scotland men's team at times, you look at the women's team and there's genuine world-class players in there, and we're just not quite kicking it. The Pinatar Cup, okay, that's friendly competition and whatnot, but even that was quite underwhelming when we had a pretty strong team out at times. So yeah, I know we've digressed a wee bit from talking about City to the Scotland setup, but I think they're all valid points.
Yeah, definitely. And whilst we're on the subject of Scotland, I mean, that game against Iceland was a frustrating one for me. We were dominant in the first half, could have been two or three up. We had so many good chances, and then we conceded two goals in 2 minutes in the second half and the game was done. But we've announced the friendlies coming up against Australia down in London, and we've got Costa Rica at Hampden on the 11th of April. So anyone who can get to that, please do get along. I, unfortunately, bizarrely cannot make the Costa Rica game because I'm going on a family trip to see family in London that week. Had it been the week before, it would have been perfect, because I could have got to the game against Australia and got to the Costa Rica game, but not good planning on my part.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game at Hampden. Always nice to get back to Hampden. But the family don't fancy a trip to London for the week before, given it's during Easter holidays.
Yeah.
I think, George, I know you obviously got your own predicaments regarding these Scotland games coming up, but I think whilst we're on the topic, and I'll be brief with this, I think the few Scotland games will give us a big indication of how it's going to all evolve moving forward. I mean, it'll be good to see what players are going to be involved. For me, apologies for stealing your thunder, but John, but I think we need to see like some Warren Davidson involved. I think we need to see like I think we need to maybe get two or three younger players involved. Weah Edie, perhaps. Weah Edie, I don't think it's a much of a chance for the Scotland team. I'd like to see her get a chance. I think we've got the plan for the future, not for focusing on the here and now. The here and now is brilliant, but I as per his coaching point of view, I think the player point of view needs to be looked at as well moving forward.
Yeah, definitely, and that's something we'll certainly debate more on when we do another women's podcast. I'd like to get us to do one once the Nations League draw is made as well. But we'll see what happens in between now and then. So I'm sure we'll have another podcast before then, because I can't actually remember when the draw is. But anyway, we better press on with the SWPL. So, City, do they have one hand in the title, or is there still a big chance that Celtic and Rangers could overhaul them? Because 6 points isn't a lot. It's too much, you know. In Celtic's case, for example, they've got that's two wins against Glasgow City and they're right back in it. In Rangers' case, I think Rangers, the way things are standing, is they would need to win every game to overhaul City, and they are capable of doing it. But I think personally, Glasgow City have one hand in tail just the way they're playing. But you know, Leanne Ross, the way she was speaking after the Glasgow Women game, keep my feet firmly on the ground, saying it's not done yet because they're still to play for, especially when they've all got to play each other over these very interesting next 10 weeks of the season.
I think Leanne Ross has got every right to say that, because when you look at Glasgow Women, and I mean this with no disrespect whatsoever to Glasgow Women, you're expected to go and win and beat Glasgow Women by that scoreline. It's nothing malicious towards Glasgow Women, it's just the state of how things are with regards to them at this precise moment in time, the predicament that they find themselves in. But for Glasgow City, I mean, do they have one hand the title? Possibly. But if I was giving everybody that will catch them, I think it's Celtic, because I've watched Celtic and Rangers, Celtic in the flesh, but I watched both of them on television. And Celtic are probably the better football inside, and Celtic probably have the better balance right now. I mean, Rangers had a superb season last year. They've kind of lost their euphoria a little bit. They haven't hit the heights of last season, as I alluded to at the top of the show. But the thing about Glasgow City, John, is they're playing with such a good rhythm. They're playing with such a good intensity. Leanne Ross has got a good balance. I think the one criticism about Ailey Gleeson was the fact that she had a tough to beat mentality, whilst for Leanne Ross, she's getting both, she's making sure a colossal of both boxes. So in the 18-yard box, we're seeing Chinchilla pop up with more goals. Warren Davis, we've touched upon, is scoring goals again, and they've signed players and the correct caliber players to go and help them in their title pursuit. So in terms of this, I think Celtic will be more aligned to challenge Glasgow City. But exactly at the same time, I think Glasgow City are a much different position from last year.
I think for me, like the split's very exciting. I'm a big fan of it. But for me, it comes down to momentum. And you look at match day one, straight after the split, and City have got Hibs, and then they've got Hearts. So you would imagine that's probably two wins, although they're both away games. But then obviously you've got the Celtic Rangers game is match day one. So straight away, there's an opportunity for City to push on. And I think from that point on, it'll be fairly plain sailing for them, to be honest.
Yeah, you would think so, but it's going to be difficult to write off Celtic Rangers just yet. I mean, still a lot of games to play for.
I've done it. That's it. It's done.
I mean, personally, I think Glasgow City will go on and win it. I do think they've one hand in the title, but you just never know. And I'm sure Celtic and Rangers will have a lot to say, especially when Celtic play Glasgow City on the 16th of April. That'll be an interesting game. Celtic and Rangers have slipped up against Hearts and Motherwell respectively this season. City have yet to do that, so no, but can Hearts produce another upset when they play in the top three? Can Hibs do the same? And there's one other team who's joined them, almost rather surprisingly, Partick Thistle. Congratulations to Brian Graham and his girls. They just pipped Motherwell thanks to a 1-0 victory over Dundee United at the weekend. Now, before we give our views on that, let's hear from one of the Thistle players. Taylor McGlashan spoke to Vinny.
Hi, it's Vinny here. I'm delighted to be joined on Scottish Football Forum's podcast by Partick Thistle's longest-serving player, Taylor McGlashan. Hello, Taylor.
Hiya, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. So, Partick Thistle, top six. Sounds good?
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. It was even Monday morning, just kind of reflecting on the game and Sunday and the journey, like you say, the journey that we've been on. And yeah, it's a brilliant result, a brilliant achievement for the club and everyone involved.
And I think, you know, Brian said in post-match, he was quite abrupt in saying nobody gave us a chance at the start of the season. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people probably looked at just Partick Thistle being quite a new club, only less than 10 years old, and, you know, mixing it with some of the big teams, mm-hmm. particularly the fortuitous inclusion in the SWPL last season. But, I mean, it was a great season last year, getting to the semi-final and everything. And then this year it's just kicked on.
It just went, yeah. And like you say, I think when we first came in last season, everyone just thought we're just here, like I think I said before, we're not just here to make up the numbers, we're here to compete. And I think we've proved everyone wrong and all the doubters wrong this season. And to, like you say, a part-time club going up against, you know, the top six that are full-time athletes pretty much. Mm. It's like unbelievable.
And I suppose, again, Brian said it in interviews, like, it's where you want to be. And, you know, in years to come, who knows where the club might go, but mm-hmm. in order to become one of the best, you've got to play against them, and that's going to be a learning experience over the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. We're building a great squad here. You know, we've got a great mixture of kind of the young girls coming through, like young Abby, who's been absolutely brilliant the past few months, to like our oldest player, Jess. You know, it's the experience and everything, everyone coming together, and it's brilliant.
And it has been a really interesting mix, like you say. You've got young ones like mm-hmm. Abby, and then, you know, like Megan coming in from Rangers and just helping to solidify mm-hmm. things at the back. We always had that pretty solid back two with Demi and, mm-hmm. and Chez, but Megan coming in has just added another dimension to that.
Yeah, absolutely. She's great at the back, quite, you know, commanding.
Vocal.
Vocal. And it's like a great spine in the team as well. Yeah. Like Lindsay Taylor, you could play her absolutely anywhere on the pitch and she would still.
And she has been in the last few weeks, which is just amazing. So I suppose, like, looking at the last 6 years or so, what for, obviously coming through the leagues and whatnot, what's been like the most drastic change in your opinion?
I think when we went from Thistle Weir to Partick Thistle Women, mm-hmm. you know, the name change itself, we weren't just, you know, part of, the Thistle Weir was quite the youth setup, so to kind of get that, I think it was March 2018 we went Partick Thistle, it was really felt part, you know, part of the club.
Yeah.
So that for me, it's probably one of the biggest changes. Seeing everyone kind of build our way through and where we're at now. So it's been great to be part of. Unfortunately, just not being as involved as I wanted to be through injury this season.
Yeah. And, well, that kind of brings me on to the point. Obviously, Sunday was an amazing occasion. Mm-hmm. And this season, you must be have an odd mix of pride, but also frustration that you've not been able to get as involved as you would have liked.
Yeah, so that's been up to November 2021. I've done my injury, so I've still not got fully back. As like you say, it's a mixture of emotions, you know, but I've also played my part getting this here as well. Mm-hmm. And I still feel really involved in the team, even though I'm injured, and that's what Brian wants. He doesn't, you know, it's not just about the start 11, it's about everyone coming together. Mm-hmm. We're one. So I can't deny it. I was absolutely buzzing. Yeah. Regardless, and I still, like I say, I still feel totally involved with the club.
And you can talk about, you know, Brian's coach and the togetherness and the squad and everything, but let's face it, Sunday it was down to your amazing. Your amazing speech on that video that Craig did last week.
One take. And that's Craig's been brilliant. See the ideas he comes up with, and you know, that's all credit to Craig for, you know, making me a wee spiel. Didn't quite take one take, but he's great, and the ideas he comes up with. You know, we've got the best media team, and you know, the women's league, and he really puts us on the map. And full credit to Craig.
And I think that's a really good point, because it's you know, the club itself has grown, but mm-hmm. overall it's building up that bigger picture of women's football in Scotland, making everything more accessible, making it more inclusive. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other week in that amazing game against Aberdeen, mm-hmm. you know, it was a record home support for us. So the word's getting out, and I think anyone who came along to that game as their first women's game will come back, because it had everything. It was amazing.
And that's it. It's the games kind of like that, but you're wanting to kind of show on like your BBC Alba and your BBC Scotland, you know, the more kind of competitive games, because they're kind of only showing, you know, the top maybe three, aye, four clubs, and they're going against, maybe it's not as a competitive game. So it's quite good to see that, you know, we've got BBC Scotland, a game against Hearts, which I think, yep, would be a great showcase for the league.
Uh-huh. And so we start off with Hearts after the split. Brian's message has been, let's go for the two Edinburgh clubs next. Yep. You know, there's certainly not any rest.
No, it's all to play for. You know, it's Brian's favourite word, belief. Yeah. It is. And like I say, the squad that we've got, you know, we're more than capable of getting above the Edinburgh clubs.
And 1 point behind Hibs at the moment, it's definitely doable.
Absolutely.
That'd be very enjoyable. And so I know there's obviously 10 games still to go. We're just coming up to the post-split. But it's probably a good time to reflect on the season. Mm-hmm. Like you said, unfortunately for you, a lot of it has been spent on the sidelines. But do you have a particular favourite moment or a goal or anything that stood out for you so far this season?
I think the Aberdeen game last week, I think that's, you know, it just shows what we're about as a club, you know, that we don't give up. You know, we're down 2-0, the girls' heads, you know, nobody dropped their heads. We're still fighting for it because we've all got that target of top six. Mm-hmm. And that was probably highlight game for me.
It's something I've not experienced many times at football, like being two goals behind, but when Lindsay scored that free kick,
yeah,
like obviously I'm up the back of the stand doing the announcements and stuff, but there was, you could just get this vibe from everyone that everyone knew we were going to win the game from that point on. Yeah. And you could see that on the pitch. Mm-hmm. The way the girls reacted was phenomenal. So the spirit is there, it's just brilliant. What do you kind of put that down to?
I think it's just, it's Brian obviously telling us and giving us that belief in the hard work that we're putting in, and everyone coming together. You know, there's no one bigger than Thistle. You know, we don't have like kind of, you've got big players, but everyone's coming together. And it's just kind of Brian giving us that confidence to say that we can go out there and compete.
Brilliant. And how's your recovery looking at the moment?
It's looking good. I'm still just kind of taking it week by week. I'm not kind of, I was giving myself targets before and I wasn't meeting them, which is mentally, that was quite draining and exhausting. Yeah. So I'm just kind of taking it week by week, and hopefully get back.
A couple of inclusions in the bench recently, which has helped, showing you,
absolutely,
that, like you say, part of the squad. It's not just that starting 11, so that's important. Brilliant. Well, listen, Taylor, I'll leave it there. We are talking to you from a sort of snowy Peter's Hill tonight, and it looks like training might be off.
Oh, fingers crossed.
I think everyone needs an extra couple of days to recover after Sunday. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Right, thanks very much, Taylor.
No bother.
Cheers.
Thank you very much, Taylor, for helping out SFF podcast. Forgot my words there. Too many S's when we talk about Scottish football. Thanks to her for giving her views on Thistle's amazing achievement in getting the top six. Vinny, thank you very much for another interview. And Partick Thistle, when they were promoted, at the 11th hour, 11 days I think it was before the season started last year, at the expense of poor Forfar Farmington, who obviously demised. And for their second season, and for them to be the ones that get into the top six, I think it's an incredible achievement.
I mean, you heard Taylor's the longest serving female player at Thistle, so she's kind of been through it all. So I thought she was a great person to speak to get the views of. And it's just incredible. It really is. But she spoke about it, obviously, in the interview about Brian Graham's favourite word, belief. And it is that, like, the media team at Thistle have been brilliant at getting some behind-the-scenes clips and things, and every single Brian Graham pre-match chat and post-match chat with the players is all about belief, and you've got it in yourselves. We spoke a wee bit with Taylor about how the squad that's been assembled there, and it is a brilliant blend of experience and youth, and just the enthusiasm in that team. So I spoke about momentum earlier when I was talking about Glasgow City, and Thistle had that as well. This season, when they got on a wee run, they looked unbeatable at times. And again, mentioned in the interview, that Aberdeen game a couple of weeks ago just sums up the team. We were 2-0 down, and as soon as Lindsay Taylor scored that great free kick, just everyone knew we would win the game. There was just incredible confidence, incredible enthusiasm. around the place. And Brian Graham said it in all the post-match stuff. Nobody gave Thistle a chance of getting in the top six. And, you know, in the same breath, he says, let's go after Hibs, let's go after Hearts. And you look at the table and maybe Hearts are a wee bit out of reach, but a fifth place finish is not out with the realms of possibility. Thistle are going to find it really, really tough over the next 10 games. Let's not beat about the bush with it. And it's possible that, you know, Motherwell and Spartans end up on a higher points tally. That often happens in leagues with splits. But is Thistle have got there at the right time? So it's going to be a tough experience for them, but that's what they want to be. You know, they want to be part of that elite bunch in the league, and they're on their way to getting there. And I think I said it in the interview with Taylor, if you want to be the best, you've got to play with them. And I think they'll relish it, even if there's going to be some very difficult games. They won't let the heads go down at all.
So I was waiting for Dave giving his opinion on Partick's achievement. I mean, I think when we did our predictions earlier on the season, Dave, who we thought would be in the top six, I think we would have predicted also top three, City, Celtic and Rangers, and we would have predicted Hibs. The other two were more up for grabs. I mean, Hearts, we've also spoken about them a lot. I mean, the job Eva Ollard's done, and, you know, what she's done at that club is just unbelievable. They're actually sitting 8 points clear of Hibs just now, which is remarkable. But I think other teams we might have thought about were Motherwell and Spartans, possibly Aberdeen, who finished fifth last season, which we'll come on to later. But so for Thistle to finish above these teams is pretty good going.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've been fairly on top whenever they've played against these teams. I mean, Vinny's pinpointed Hearts there, but you've got to remember when part of Thistle have played Hearts, there's always been close encounters whenever Thistle have played Hearts as well. So it's not as though part of Thistle have just been in the baseline of the top six and that's been it. It's not, they've also been competing with the bigger teams. Maybe they're just a little bit short of the top three at this moment in time. Patrick Thistle and Vinny will probably admit to that very much so, but at exactly the same time, they're in the top six of merit. And I was saying to Vinny actually in our group chat, John, that I was watching the highlights of the Dungeon United game, and 1-0, in my honest opinion, flattered Dungeon United, because with the chances Patrick Thistle had, with the sending off that Dungeon United had, as you guys were saying, it was a bit of a hot contested game, but I think part of Thistle, I don't think Dungeon United would have begrudged it one bit had they won that 5-0, because I watched 7 minutes of highlights and I seen about 10 to 12 part of Thistle chances in that game in question. So I don't think Dungeon United would have begrudged it one bit if it was more than 1-0 in all honesty. But full credit to part of Thistle for getting the job done. And what I will say is full credit to Patrick Thistle as well, because they give the media team at the club some great access, and I've really enjoyed what they've done with Mike Brian Graham's pre-match team talks, celebrations at the end, whatever Brian said at the end of games, and then various things they've done at halftime as well. It's a bit open goal, Broomhill-esque, but at the same time, when you look at this for Patrick Thistle, and obviously provide great access, so hats off to them for that.
You were doing really well until that last bit there, Dave, to that mob.
Yes, Partick Thistle are not a franchise. Let's get that clear right now. dearie me, David, that's an own goal for you. right, in terms of the bottom, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Motherwell and Spartans will not get hauled into a relegation battle. The relegation battle, well, there's one relegation place already taken, that's by Glasgow Women. Sadly, I don't see them in 10 games. After 22 games without a point, I don't see them overhauling a 13 or 15 point disadvantage on Hamilton and Aberdeen to get the bottom two at this stage of the season, sadly, especially with a minus 109 goal difference. I hope they get some points between now and the end of the season, just not against Aberdeen, obviously. But that battle for avoiding second bottom, Only 4 points separate United, Aberdeen and Hamilton. I mean, Dundee United, to be fair, would have taken that at this stage of, when the season started back in August, their first season in the top flight. But for Aberdeen, it's been a disaster this season. They let go Emma Hunter and Gavin Beath after the Dundee United victory at Tannadice, and they still haven't replaced them. And almost reluctantly said to Gavin Levy, just keep the job to the end of the season. And that's because they went 3 months without even hiring anyone. It's disastrous, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I think the Aberdeen situation is one that needs a lot to be desired. I mean, Emma Hunter and Gavin Beath are two good coaches. Gavin Beath is with Hearts. Hearts said they're doing very, very well for themselves just now. Emma Hunter is working with the SFA alongside Hamilton's Gary Doctor. And I've made the point to you privately, John. You know, I'm not afraid to make this point externally as well. That had Emma Hunter been 70 miles or 90 miles down the road in Glasgow, Edinburgh area, she'd have been back in a management job. And I'm not afraid to say that externally. So, yeah, I think in terms of this, I think it leaves a lot of questions from an Aberdeen point of view. The likes of Hearts have improved their women's programme massively in terms of their players going full time. Hibs as well. Hibs are more professional. Glasgow City, they're like a self brand, so to speak, because of obviously you don't have a men's team to rely on. So they're obviously doing well for themselves as well. And then you've got the likes of Partick Thistle. Vinny, how much time do Partick Thistle train a week? Sorry.
This season they moved up to three nights a week. It had been two previously, so they're a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I think Aberdeen are the same. I think Aberdeen are three nights a week. I'm not 100% sure on that front, but irrespective, I think there's a lot of warrants moving forward because this 20-hour a week season ticket incentive is baffling to say the least as well. So. Yeah, as an Aberdeen fan, as you yourself, Mr. Bleasdale, we're incredibly frustrated by the current dealings, but we're here to speak about on the park matters, and the fact that Aberdeen haven't been backed by the board, whether that's the men's board or other boards, we don't know what the correct procedure is, but the fact they haven't been backed, it tells a story because they've got players within a catchment area, and when you look at some of the positions within the park, if Aberdeen had a bit more investment in the women's game, I don't think some of the players that are currently playing would be in the team at that this percent moment in time. So, yeah, a lot of learnings moving forward to Aberdeen, especially because of the likes of your Thistles, your Hearts, your Hibs that are improving all the time. Motherwell as well, I haven't mentioned Motherwell, which goes to tell you the strength and depth. It's a bit of a transition season for United, but I think if Graham Hart gets the backing, I'll be interested to see how they get on. I think the men's team situation will have a lot to depend on Dundee United, because I think if Dundee United men go and get relegated, that could hamper the women's game a little bit in United, but I'll be interested to see what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting times down there for both clubs. I mean, from an Aberdeen point of view, as you rightly identify, you know, when you're advertising a management vacancy on 20 hours per week, you're limiting yourself to the northeast of Scotland, and I think that transpires in their player recruitment as well. Aberdeen have made noises before about wanting to be the fourth or fifth club in Scotland outside Celtic, Rangers and Glasgow City. They want to make that next step up. They finished fifth last season. But if you keep standing still and not move with the times, you're going to end up actually falling back the way rather than even standing still. Because, I mean, look at what Hearts did. You know, they went and recruited a manager who spent time in America, has obviously worked in Spain and attracted her to Scotland and gave her the backing. Aberdeen need to do something similar, but we're interested to see. But I still think they'll do enough to avoid second bottom. I think Hamilton have got too much to do. What's your thoughts on the whole bottom, that scenario that Thistle don't care about, Vinny?
Way down there. I've just got to scrolling and scrolling. No, I think there's it's going to be really exciting. I keep using that word when I talk about the split, just how exciting it is. But that's why we love it, because it's just it's going to be an absolute battle every week down there. I'm just looking ahead to the penultimate game, and it's Hamilton Aberdeen, obviously. That's going to be huge, isn't it? I think, and even on the last day of the season, Dundee United at home to Hamilton, and Aberdeen are away to Motherwell. So I mean, you'll be hoping it doesn't come down to the last day, guys. But if it does, that's going to be really exciting. But yeah, I think, despite me being a Thistle fan, I totally sympathise with you guys. I think, you know, having seen how well Aberdeen did last year, with that fifth place finish, it really just has been disappointing, I think, is the word you just keep saying, and you're spot on. You know, you said it there, John, about Dundee United probably being quite relatively happy. I think the points tally is probably a wee bit of a letdown for them, but a lot of their games have been close. You know, outside the top three, they've not had too many like thumpings or anything like that. So maybe they're a wee bit disappointed from that point of view, but it's just going to be really interesting. Hamilton are obviously, you know, fairly well established, and they've got a good coaching team there as well. It's just going to be really interesting. I wouldn't like to predict it, put it that way. I think, you know, like you say, that 2-point gap at the moment might just keep Aberdeen afloat, but it's going to be an interesting few weeks.
Yeah, certainly the games between the three of them will be ultimately what could decide it. Although, they're all capable of taking points off Spartans and Motherwell as well in their day. It just depends what Motherwell turn up. I mean, although Motherwell, as I said, are a strong side when they're on it. Same with Spartans. I mean, Spartans don't take many hammerings, but they can be a funny side. You know, one week they're really good and solid. The next week they just drop silly points. So it's... Yeah, there's still a lot to play for in that bottom six.
I
was just going to say, I think it's a good point about Motherwell. Like, they're safe. They're not going to end up in a battle. Are they going to be a bit deflated after not getting to enjoy their carry out on the way back down the A9 the other day?
If you want more interviews from Motherwell FC, you better improve your tone, Vinny. Yeah, of course.
I think Motherwell, as Vinny's kind of alluded to, I think Motherwell will be disappointed by how it all evolved, because Motherwell do have a top six squad. What I mean when I say that, just for clarification, is they've got players in there that could definitely go into a side that are our top six. I mean, Leon Crichton, still arguably one of the best midfielders in SMPR1. They've got players such as Chelsea Watson, Katie Rice. I was a big fan of Katie Rice. We tried to sign Katie when I was at Falfour a few years ago. So that just goes to show, right before Katie went to Hibs, of course. And they've obviously got Taylor McDonald and Gula.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a lot of quality, Bubba, and they will be disappointed. But I've been a bit proactive with this, right? If Hamilton finish second bottom, they'll be in the playoff. Now, the second place in the SMPL2, I predict, will be between Kilmarnock or Gartcairn. I think it'd be a close one. If Montrose were to bottle it, I'd still fancy Montrose against Hamilton, right? But I'm not sure about this one. This one's for me, right? But here's another one, guys. Glasgow Women, how many games is there left?
10.
What's the odds that Glasgow Women have a minimum of 150 minus 150 goal difference by the end of the season?
I hope not. I hope it doesn't get to that. As I say, apart from when they play Aberdeen, I do hope they get some points in the board between now and the end of the season, because you don't want to see anyone walking away in their first season in the top flight with no points. But...
And just for clarification, guys, Glasgow Women currently have minus 109 goal difference.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They've got a chance of getting to Hampden.
Mm-hmm. And we'll come on to that shortly, because I wanted to address the battle for who's going to be playing either Aberdeen, Dundee United or Hamilton. We apologise once again to Gart Cairn Football Club, Gart Cairn Women Football Club and Robert McCallum, because they were top when we interviewed them back in January. Montrose have gone 9 points clear of them, hammered them recently, and now they're clinging on to second place, 1 point ahead of Kilmarnock, and even 5 points ahead of Queen's Park, and St Johnstone isn't a lot. In fact, Boroughmuir are sitting sixth, and they're 7 points behind Gart Cairn. I mean, they're actually closer to the playoff spot to get promoted than the playoff spot to avoid relegation. It's crazy.
I think that just goes to show you how congested the SWPL 2 is. I mean, I've touched upon it many a time on here. I mean, shows a lot of quality in the SWPL 2. London Pollard, Warren Gordon, Amy Ridgeway. They've got a good array of midfielders. The defensive line are very, very good as well. They've got a lot of SWPL 1 players, and as I've said to you before, they've got the captain of Dundee United from last year who knows how to win this title in Megan Burns, a player who oozes experience and quality. So I think Montrose will have a lot about them to now and the end of the season. And for me, after the results recently, it's Montrose's league to lose. Let's not forget here, had Montrose not had a clinical administration error in London Paul against Boroughmuir, that lead would have been even more bigger. But yeah, that's another story for another day. But it's a second place hunt that's the more interesting for me, because as you say, Boroughmuir's in the run for it. Gart Cairn, St Johnstone even perhaps. So there's a lot of teams in there.
Queen's Park as well there, Dave, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say anything because we all know what happened last time I praised Gart Cairn. So good luck to all the teams.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want a chance of promotion, we will avoid interviewing you all. So just in case, but we'll keep a good eye to see what comes of it. But yeah, as Vinny, you rightly touched on, it's Scottish Cup weekend, and Glasgow Women, as you mentioned, they could have a ray of sunshine in what's been a disappointing season for them, because they're 90 minutes away from getting to Hampden for the semi-final. They got probably the second best choice that they could have had in terms of Mullow, but Mullow view the same, because the other option was Kilmarnock, and then the rest of it is obviously the Glasgow and the big Glasgow and Edinburgh teams. But how do you see this one going at New Tinto on Sunday? I personally think Mullow will be too strong and use the motivation of missing out in that top six as extra incentive to get to Hampden for the semi-final.
Yeah, they've not got any hangovers to get over, so that's beneficial to them. But I'm going to keep going with that. You have to have Motherwell as favourite there, but you know, here comes a cliche, but it's a one-off game. It's the cup. You never know. And like you said, John, Glasgow Women, they need a wee something to lift their season. A quarter final is great for them, but imagine getting to a semi and playing at Hampden, that'd be wonderful. I think looking at the other ties, obviously they're extremely interesting. You would imagine Kilmarnock will enjoy their experience against Glasgow City. I don't really see City splitting up there. No. But the Hearts Celtic and Rangers Hibs game, you know, if that's in the league, you're probably just expecting Old Firm victories, really. Tight games, but probably victories. Again, in the cup, I think they're going to be really, really interesting ties. So yeah, it'll be a great weekend.
Yeah, you've just jumped ahead to the other games, but thank you. But in terms of that Hearts Celtic one, I mean, last season in the semi final, they played each other at Falkirk Stadium, and Celtic needed extra time to come through that 2-0. And this season, the league, Celtic only recently beat them at the Orium 2-1. The week after Hearts drew with Rangers, and Hibs only lost 1-0 to Rangers at home early in the season, although Rangers did battle them at Broadwood and won quite convincingly Cup final. But Hibs on their day, as they proved against Glasgow City in the League Cup semi-final, can raise their game for these occasions, so they're not as easy to predict as people think, although ultimately I still think Celtic and Rangers will go through.
I think with regards to Glasgow Women against Mullow, first and foremost, to elaborate on Vinnie's point, I think it's the biggest game of the season for both those clubs, because when you look at Glasgow Women, opportunity to get to Hampden, as Vinnie said, but after the Thistle Tears on Sunday evening, it is for Motherwell, let's be honest, they've got nothing else to play for now, have they? So I'd argue it's their biggest game of the season, because if Motherwell have the incentive of playing a team at the bottom of the SMPL 1, I don't compare that. You could argue there's a sense of pressure at that club, but I think Motherwell have enough of experience and professionalism about them to come through that. Paul Bell is a switched on guy, and I think Motherwell have enough quality about them to see themselves through. But Glasgow City, as Vinny says, I think they'll have enough to see themselves through at Kilmarnock. But Kilmarnock, it will be good to see where they're at, because Kilmarnock are one of the sides of the hunt for promotion to SMPL 1. So it's going to be a good indication, a good barometer for Killie, I think. So that'll be interesting. But if Glasgow City are serious about being serial cup winners again, then this is one they have to tackle and take great care of with true professionals on Sunday. As for Hearts against Celtic, I was really impressed with Celtic when I see them in the flesh against Ballymore, but this will be a different post position altogether when they play Hearts. And I'm looking forward to this one, because Hearts have been getting results against the bigger sides this season. So it's an opportunity for Hearts to reach Hampden, absolutely. And if Hearts can reach Hampden, that'll be a sign of their progression. But the one thing about that game last year, John, is that Hearts were nowhere near the animal they are now. Hearts were still a growing animal at that time last season. They still weren't a finished article. They still aren't a finished article now, but they were nowhere near the level they were at now, even last May, which goes to show you how they've progressed highly over the last last year. And Rangers against Hibs is intriguing for me, fascinating, I think, John, because Rangers, if they're serious about winning cups, I think this is massive for Rangers, because the league title will be the bread and butter. But I think if you are honest with yourself, you need a few callbacks, you need a few big results in order to go win the title now from a Rangers perspective. So Scottish Cup could be big for them alongside the Sky Sports Cup they won subsequently against Hibs. But for Hibs, it's an opportunity for Dean Gibson to be described as the cup tie manager or a cup manager, because quite simply, he's not done well in the league. He's had a few underwhelming results in his tenure at Hibs, not just the season, but in his tenure. And this is an opportunity for Dean Gibson to get more cup success. So, yeah, pretty intriguing ties all round.
Yeah, and Kilmarnock and Glasgow City, it's a very difficult one for Kilmarnock, because if any says just enjoy the day, but you never know in a cup tie, you know, stranger things have happened. And good luck to all eight teams involved this weekend. The semi-finals at Hampden. I need to ask this question to you guys. Do you think it is the right move to have both semi-finals at Hampden? Bearing in mind the crowds that are potential there. I mean, last year we had them at Falkirk Stadium, which I thought was a great idea. But in terms of Hampden, should it be safe for the final? I've always been, in terms of the men's game, thinking that Hampden should be the same safe for the final. So I'm not going to change my opinion there. So what's your guys' thoughts?
John, is the crowds your argument for not holding a women's semi-final?
No.
Right, okay,
not the sole argument. I personally think Hampden as a national stadium should be safe for the cup final. The same with Wembley down south. Unless it's like a Celtic Rangers semi final, because obviously there's not a big enough stadium elsewhere you can play that game. But in terms of Hampden, I think it should be safe for the final where possible.
Right, I'll change my opinion on that then, because you could have argued the same with Cali against Falkirk in the men's semi-final coming up. Obviously, the game being at Hampden, because both those sides won't have big counts. I mean, there was no big count. There was something on Twitter, I think, that the game should have been held at Tannadice just because of the size of the crowds. But yeah, I get your point. I think the semi-finals of both the Sky Sports Cup, I know the Sky Sports Cup played at Tynecastle, but I think the semi-finals of both the Sky Sports Cup and the Scottish Cup should both be held at a Scottish Premiership or Scottish Championship ground, or a Falkirk-style ground, which to play that last season somewhere on along those lines. I think it should have played somewhere like that. I mean, Tynecastle's been adaptable for women's football in the past. Easterhoe's been adaptable for women's football in the past. And there's plenty more avenues. St Mirren have obviously held Scotland games in the past at women's level. So there's plenty of grounds in Scottish football that can be adaptable for such an occasion. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I completely agree. I hold the same opinions as you, John, in terms of the any cup final, I think, should that should be a national stadium, and the semis other neutral grounds. So yes, I completely agree with you. However, I think if it was Thistle in a quarter final, say we were playing Kilmarnock or Glasgow Women in the quarter final, I'd be thoroughly looking forward to a wee day out at Hampden. So it's easy to say when you're not there.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, Hampden's close to me, to be fair. So if Aberdeen were the safe, I wouldn't bat my eyelid off. It's just a personal opinion. I'm asking you guys what your thoughts are, and you're giving it, so thank you very much.
I think, sorry, John, I think the sides in SMPL are taking it seriously, because I noticed Hibs today were advertising for spaces on their supporters bus for Sunday's game, so that just tells you how seriously sides are taking it.
Good. Yeah, and I think it's right that we should be giving the women's game a lot more exposure. Another thing that needs to be talked about as well is the use of the main stadiums. I mean, Hearts and Hibs have obviously been good at using Easter Road and Tynecastle for their respective derbies. I hope that over these next 10 weeks in the league that the big stadiums get used more often where possible. But we'll wait and see what the clubs do about that and see how we go on. Anyway, before we wrap up this one, I asked you guys to name who you think the top three players have been this season. I think we know who one of them is going to be. But Vinny, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, well, we go for our mutual one now, I would imagine. I think you've got to have I think Lauren Davidson probably claims a lot of the prizes so far this season. Her, not only her goal tally, but her assist tally is just absolutely ridiculous. Inclusion in the recent Scotland squads as well. She's just had a phenomenal season, terrifyingly good. And we chatted about it in the group chat recently about her potentially getting a move to another league. She's at a very elite team at the moment, and he'll qualify for the Champions League. But you see the numbers that she's got this year, and you just think, what could she do down south or somewhere on the continent? Just a terribly exciting player, someone people hate to come up against, and you can't argue with those numbers, can you?
No, definitely not. And the thing is, I mean, you wouldn't want to lose a player like Lauren Davidson from the SWPL because she's an exciting player. But at the same time, for the benefit of the national team going forward, I mean, you've seen the impact of the likes of Caroline Weir, Kim Little, Rachel Corsi, and them going abroad and doing so with Erin Cuthbert, another one. You know, these players going abroad or down south and, really increasing the development of their game, and they brought that to the national team, and the national team's improved because they're playing at an elite level. I'd love to see that for the likes of a Lauren Davidson or a Jenna Clark if she continues her development as another one. By the way, Glasgow City fans, I'm not touting all your players away. It's just the standards that they're all reaching. I'm thinking about the national team first. Who's your other two then, Vinny?
It's Celtic. I've been really, really impressed with her. She obviously made, with all respect to Hibs, she's made the step up from Hibs to Celtic and has done phenomenally well. I don't know what her expectations were or anyone else's expectations, but when I saw the move happening and you saw the quality of signings that Celtic brought in that sort of last week of pre-season, you wondered how much game time she would actually get. But she's an integral part of the team now. She's scored plenty of goals, maybe could have scored even more actually. Really impressed me. I was really disappointed to see that she didn't make it into the Pinatar squads. But I would imagine she must be knocking on the door for these friendlies in April.
Got
I
to
think
be.
she's had a tremendous season. She's definitely stuck out for me this year.
Yeah, definitely. I was surprised that she wasn't in that Pinnacle Cup squad as well. And who's your other pick before I get Dave's? Who, sorry?
Sorry, and I hummed and hawed about who it would be. I think Lindsay Taylor's had an amazing season. I think Megan Cunningham has had a brilliant season on loan from Rangers. She's really showed things up at the back for Thistle. Thistle have just had such a good season, it'd be difficult to pick anyone. But I think my most improved player of the season has to be wee Abby Ferguson. I think she's on loan from Celtic at the moment. When she first came, maybe didn't always make the right decisions about when to hold on to the ball, when to pass it, when to drive on. And I think under the gaining experience from players like Rachel Donaldson and working with Brian Graham, I think she's turning out to be a really, really good attacking player. She's only 18 years old, and in the last couple of months in particular, the way that she holds up the ball, gets the ball wide and then makes the right runs into the box. She's, again, a player who maybe should have scored more goals, but you've got to be in the position to miss the chances, if you get what I mean. And for someone 18 to be playing at such with such maturity, I think she's got a really, really bright future. There's a decision to be made from Celtic's point of view. They've not really replaced Charlie Welling's goals. Obviously, Larissy moved on, who looked to be that solution. So, for me, they maybe have the answer already in their ranks, but she has to be offered full-time football. And if Celtic don't do it, someone will. I think she's a phenomenal player. So, definitely my most improved player of the season. I felt I needed to include a Thistle player, but Abby, I think, has just improved so much this year. Really impressed.
And Dave, who's your three? So I know you'll have picked Lauren Davison as well, won't you?
No, that's going to be fine. That's wrong. Lauren Davison is a top player, but I do want to go with something different to you guys. I don't just want to be picking the same players for same players' reasons sake. Lauren Davison, top player, but my Glasgow City player is Priscilla Chinchilla, finding the form again of 2 seasons ago and showing why her and Davison have got such a strong relationship. Scored a win against Celtic and scoring goals consistently for Glasgow City this season. So Priscilla Chinchilla for me, number one. Number two, I am going to go for Georgia Timms at Hearts because she's scored goals plenty for Hearts. She's helped either all inside to a fourth position currently. Had it not been for Timms' goals, who knows where Hearts would have been at this precise moment in time. Obviously, they've had a lot of good investment into that club with Caitlin Mickey and Emma Burnley, Aaron Rennie, Amy Anderson, two top players as well. But Georgia Timms has just been a top player. And my third pick is, funnily enough, Olivia Chance. I've been quite impressed by Olivia. She maybe does a lot of the work that's undermined. I mean, Amy Gallagher's done some superb work in midfield for Celtic, but Olivia Chance has probably not revamped but helped eradicate the goals left when Charlie Wells left the club. So I think Olivia Chance has, because she's played a massive part in this title pursuit for Celtic. So Lizzie Arnott deserves a place in this list as well, but that's something I'm going for.
Yeah,
good choices, Dave. Good choices. Can't really argue with any of them. I think that maybe should have been to the league.
Pardon me. I need to put Claire Dock in there as well.
Hey.
Good man. But yeah, they're good choices.
She's well. Also good at steering a trolley. That's good.
Yeah, Vinny knows best, eh? Right, so obviously I've picked Lauren Davison, but my other two, I'm going deliberately with two other players to be different for you once. So Sam Kerr, I think, has had another outstanding season at Rangers. In fact, I think she's upped her game even more. She's taken her into the Scotland team. She's now pretty much a first pick in that holding midfield position that we were lacking for a good bit after Leanne Crichton retired. And Sam Kerr, I think, has started to nail that. She's been excellent for the national team as well as for Rangers. And she played every game of the Pinata Cup and then still played for Rangers on the Friday against Celtic as well. So, yeah, she definitely deserves an inclusion. And a kind of outside one I'm going to pick here actually comes from Motherwell and Kayla McDonald in Goa. I think she's been outstanding again up front. I mean, she's, you know, the way she holds up the ball is so strong. I mean, she's brilliant and, you know, she's got some eye for goal. I mean, the types of goals that she scores is incredible. I'm actually surprised she's not at a, no disrespect to Motherwell, good club. I'm a wee bit surprised she's not quite at a higher level club than that, but she's doing terrific and yeah, she's getting an outside shout from me.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's a player I'd love to see at Thistle. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, John. She's just so strong, and you're right, it's not just the goals she's scored, it's the types of goals. She's really versatile. She's got a powerful shot on her for long-range efforts, but her positioning and movement is excellent as well to get on the end of tap-ins. So, yeah, that's a good shout. But like I was saying to Dave, I think it just shows the strength of the league that, you know, all three of us could have picked three different players, and I don't think any of us could have really argued, because it's just been a great season so far, and the next 10 games are going to be great fun.
Yeah, definitely. It should be an interesting last 10 games of the season. And, of course, finale to the Scottish Cup. And we will have more build-ups to some of the big games. And certainly we will do a Scottish Cup final preview that we can definitely promise in this show. And we'll do a look at a review on who Scotland are going to face in the upcoming Nations League. And next month, they will be choosing who is actually hosting the Euros in 2025, and let's hope that Scotland can get there. So I think we'll end that on a high note there, and thanks Vinnie and Dave again, and thanks to everyone for listening to our latest Scottish Women's Football Show.